Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, as you've commended your word unto us, we thank you for it and we bless you, Lord, that we have not only the Spirit of God reigning within us, but the word as well to read, that it may confirm that which we have within us, and that it may speak boldly, Lord, as to how we ought to be, how we ought to live, what we ought to do with our lives. And in the name of Jesus, as we receive the instructions for today, we thank you that we will take it, internalize it, and then go forth, God, and show it forth through the world that other people might know and feel and realize what it is that we have, that they may change as well. It's in the name of Jesus. I bless you and thank you for it. Amen, amen, amen. Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to read one verse there, verse 17. And as well, while you're there, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, just to kind of make mention of one particular thing concerning really both of these scriptures here. Philippians 3, and verse 17. And it simply says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even with weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And then if you would please turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23. And then we'll flip to 1 Peter 2. But along with Philippians chapter 3, it says this, just to kind of join these scriptures together, it says this. I'm going to start at verse 22. Actually, it says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Chapter 2, 9 and 10, it says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in the time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And I want to use as a title for today, our sample of example. And really, for the young folk, you're going to love what I'm going to be speaking of today, because I'm going to be getting on us older folk as to how we ought to be examples for the young folk to live by. You see, the Bible shows us that we are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. We are a peculiar people, meaning that we are different than what the rest of the world are. And we should act differently. And in fact, especially as an example to the younger people that look up to us and see how we ought to live as if we are Christians. I asked my son and my daughter the other night I asked them to tell me what it is that they see in mom and dad that's not a good example for them to live by. And of course, they scratched their heads. They were thinking for hours on end, and they never could come up with anything on me. But truthfully and seriously, we asked them if they could think of anything that was not a good example toward them. And they really couldn't think of anything, although I know that we're not perfect and there are a lot of things that we do need to improve upon in life. But my point of the matter, and even asking the question, is that what is it that you see in my life that perhaps I need to change, that it is influencing you to the extent that it would create something bad even in you? And so therefore, our lives are really a sample to them as to the example as to how we ought to live. Am I living righteously? If I say that I am a Christian, if I say that I'm a son of the living God, am I living according to the way that God says that I ought to live? And if I have any doubt as to how I ought to live, then God has given us this wonderful book here that gives us instruction. And as we were talking about this morning, my brother and sister Walker, even if people might not think that we are Christians, are we living it according to how we ought to be living? And if we are doing it according to how we ought to be doing it, then maybe that's a way that God can show them that I am a Christian and that I do love God, and therefore I'm an example of how it is that it ought to be. And so, see, we in our lives as older folk determine what it is that we are raising. If I live the life that is a bad example for my son and my daughter, then I can certainly be assured that they're going to pick up what it is that I'm doing, but they're going to do it even worse than I'm doing it. Because that's the way that society is. You can look back 20, 30, 50 years ago, and the people that are doing things today are doing it worse, and they're doing it more than they used to do it 50 years ago. Society, sadly to say, is whining farther and farther and farther off of the road. That's because the examples that people have to look up to, the younger folk have to look up to, are getting worse and worse. When you start off and move off the edge one little bit, that means we're farther away from where we ought to be. But then the next generation that comes along find out that they're not looking at the perfect example, but now they're looking at a watered-down example. And therefore, they grow up learning it, and then they perpetrate it throughout the world. And, of course, it's getting worse and worse each time. One of the things that I understand about young folk is this. They are mirrors of the environment that they are surrounded by. And therefore, when my son pick up something that is not right, that is not of God, I realize that either he's gotten it from me, who he's around most of the time, or my wife, or perhaps it was someone out in the street that he looked up to, and he decided he's going to mimic or imitate what it is that they are doing. They are just absorbing all of this information. Some of it is good, and some of it is bad. And sometimes they haven't reached a point where they know how to filter it out properly, and therefore they see that which is bad, they want to imitate it, and that's why you have the jails and the prisons that are being filled today. And a lot of it is being filled by the younger people. It's because of the environment and the things that they grab hold of from the environment. But the thing that I don't want God to do is to look at me and say, listen, you were a bad example for your children. You are a bad sample for them to look at and to mimic and to imitate, but yet I put you in a position wherein you are supposed to be righteous. You're supposed to be holy, and you're supposed to show them what road to go down. You're supposed to show them how it is that they ought to live. Now, understand this, that even when you live a perfect life, as Jesus did, there are going to be some people that just ain't going to do it the way that Jesus did it. Because we are fallen creatures and we wrestle against this body here, and we wrestle against what it is that this body wants to do as opposed to what the mind and the heart really is telling it what to do. That's what Paul was talking about over in Romans chapter 7 when he said that, listen, even I, a mighty man of God, I wrestle with two natures. There are two natures on the inside of me, and one is pulling me this way and the other one is pulling me that way. And when I fulfill the lust of the flesh, I'm setting forth a bad example. Now, in Proverbs, really it gave instruction as to how it is that we ought to teach our children. God told Israel, he said, listen, the commandments that I give you, in Proverbs chapter 3, the commandments that I give you, I want you to take them, but I also want you to bind these commandments around the necks of the children. Because in binding them, in essence, you are showing them, they're able to see that here it is, this is what God says to do. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false witnesses. They are able to see it, and it helps to keep them in place when they think that they may have forgotten what it is that God has said. But on top of all of that, you as the older ones, you have to show them that this is the way you live, and when you have it bound around their neck, not only do they have you as an example, but they also have the Word of God that they can read and show how it is that we ought to be in this life. Now, the thing that I did see over in Proverbs chapter 6, I think it's 6:12, and it's 6:16 rather through 21, what it does say is that there are some things that God literally hates. And there are things that we as people tend to do. And the first one, he said, these are examples. He said, in fact, it is even an abomination to me. He said, listen, I want you to show it, let it be known unto the children, and let it be known to the younger one that you are to stay away from certain things. The first one that he mentioned was there's pride. And a lot of times we older people, we just wrapped up in pride. I think I've arrived. I think I have it all. I think I look good. I don't think that I need God. And so he said, I hate this kind of stuff. I hate the kind of attitude and pride. That's one of the reasons why he confused the languages, because the people rose up and they came together with their one language to build a tower that was going to reach into heaven. But God said, no, you got pride in your life. And I'm going to cut that stuff out, because when I confuse your languages, you won't know how to communicate. He also says that I hate lying tongues. I hate people that will intentionally and literally go out and lie on people. And when we as adults, when we as parents, when we show pride, it manifests itself even in children's lives. When we do speak lies and tell lies on people, the children think it's the right thing to do and it's okay to do that kind of stuff, not realizing that they are destroying someone else's life. But they pick it up because the example above them is showing them that it's all right to do that kind of stuff. God says, I hate a murderer, and it's an abomination to me. God has always had it such that man's blood, the blood of man, has been the life of man, and he required death, in fact, at the hand of the person that will go out and kill someone else. And he allowed the nations to put laws in effect that will even take your life. We call it capital punishment if you go out and intentionally murder someone else. God says, I hate it. He said, I hate a heart that devises evil. I hate a heart that devises wickedness and evil. All of that is a part of what we have wrapped up in our society. And the older people, because we're not showing forth any kind of restraint. Let me mention this as well. The two words that really stuck out in my heart and my mind as I began to think about how it is that we're to be examples for our children is love and restraint. When I love, then it's culminated with restraint, because when you love someone or something, you show restraints on how it is that you're supposed to handle it. When I love my son or my daughter, I restrain them from some of the things that they even want in life, because I know that is not good for them. I realize that everything that I give to my son or my daughter might want is not good for their lives. I realize that they're going to ask for candy every time, and I can't give them just candy. I have to feed them with something else. Otherwise, it tears their life apart. Same thing goes with when they're asking for all of the material things that they want, and we as parents, we show a bad example by giving it to them everything they want. I want a phone. I want a PS3, I want a television, I want cable, and I want all of this stuff that ends up putting the family in debt, because they don't understand that they're not to have all of that at one time. We have to show some restraints, and by teaching them how to show restraints, they won't just go jumping off the cliff at everything that they see and that they want. And God says, listen, I hate a person whose feet are quickly to run into mischief, run into riots, and get involved in stuff that they ought not to be getting involved in. He hates somebody that sows discord among the brethren. People that go out gossiping, people that go out and they just into other people's business and doing things to other folk. God doesn't like that kind of stuff. And the reason and the understanding that I'm getting in this in my life is that God, when I'm doing this kind of stuff, it may not even, it affects me, but even more so, it affects my children and the other children that are around me, especially in my position. It affects other people around me. We have to make sure that we're the proper example for these young folk and for these older folk. You know, I can look at Mr. Mask, and Mr. Mask and I, we talk from time to time. Mr. Mask is a great example to me. You know, because he's older than I am, I can listen to him talk, and he can share wisdom to me, and some of it I already understand because, you know, having grown up years ago, there are certain sayings and certain things that go kind of hand in hand. But I can listen to him, and I can respect him, And I can just glean from the example that he sets forth for me that even I, being a younger individual, can learn from. And therefore, I understand that even though he may be a little older than I am, I have people that look at me and say, well, what kind of example are you setting, Pastor? What kind of example are you setting, Dad? And will follow after the things that I do, even when I'm telling them to do something else. You see, words are cheap, as they say. Money talk, we know that. But words are cheap because what you say and what you do makes a world of a difference in how someone receives it. When I tell my son to don't go out and steal something, but yet they see me cheating on my income taxes, they see me, somebody give me too much money back from the grocery store and I refuse to give it back to them, they see that as cheating. It's a bad example. And then how do I have the nerve to say, son, you ought not to have stolen that pocketbook from that lady? Well, Dad, I saw you stealing when they gave you too much money back. All of that is a part of it. And false witnesses that speak lies, those are some of the things that God hates. Let me share with you just a thing or two on about three people that were really bad examples, but they caused their families to die. And when I talk about family, they caused their children to die, some of their relatives, and all of that. First of all, there were the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were just bad examples for themselves. They were bad examples as a nation. And when I speak of Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm talking about people that were homosexuals. They were living the lifestyle of homosexuality. But God saw fit to have one man who, for whatever reason, Lot, stayed there. And although Lot had all of those bad examples of people around him, God said, listen, I want you to come out of that because I'm going to destroy this city and the cities that are around because all of them are bad example for society, and I'm going to wipe it out. And he brought Lot and his wife and the children out, two daughters out. And for whatever reason, his wife evidently loved that example so well that she turned around after God telling her not to do it, and she was consumed along with that city. Then there was the family of Korah who came against Moses. And he was a bad example to the people to look up to. See, Moses had gone away for a while. And so Korah decides that he's going to raise up and be the leader of the people. And God was saying, no, you are a bad example, Korah. Moses is the example that I want. And as a result of it, Korah died along with thousands of other people, including his family, because the bad example was influencing the other people in that camp. And so God wants us to be a good example. Otherwise, we end up killing ourselves and our families as well. And the last person I want to utilize as an example is the man named Achan. Achan went out into the city. Israel was fighting a nation, and Achan went out, and God had purely told them, listen, when you destroy this nation, don't take anything and bring it back into the camp. Leave the gold there, leave the silver there, leave the sheep there, leave everything that belonged to them because they are a bad example for you and you don't need that being mingled with that which you have in your camp. And Achan just couldn't resist. He said, man, I just saw this gold vessel and it looked like it was valuable to me. And he brought it back, and as a result of it, the man lost his life. And if I'm not mistaken, the children, his children, lost their lives as well. See, God was, except for the blood of Jesus Christ, hard on certain things that he directly tells us not to do. But we have to learn, we want to be some good example for our children. And I'm thankful to God that we have many, many saints here at Enjoy Ministries that are good, living a good example. Because if we live any kind of way, our children are going to live any kind of way. And I don't even have to name the kind of things that you and I know that we ought to stay away from. There are some that are greater than others, but all in all, even when it comes down to me talking about Brother Barry to Dr. Massey here. Dr. Massey, you know about Brother Barry. I don't even need to be into that kind of stuff. I mentioned to you once before that I'm thankful to God that when I talk with the elders one-on-one, Javon and Mike and Lee, We don't get into conversations about people unless we're trying to do something positively to affect that person's life. We don't get into what they're doing or how bad they are doing things, what kind of sin that they're involved in, unless it is designed to help somebody's life. We just don't get into it. They don't bring it to me. I don't take it to them. And I'm thankful that we have the kind of leadership that don't get into messy kind of stuff like that. I'm thankful to God that some of my other brothers that I've connected with don't get into that kind of stuff. We really don't have time. And we're really setting a bad example, because I understand that if I show it forth to the congregation, especially young folk, they're going to do the same kind of thing. Now, we do understand this about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the perfect example for man. Not only was his blood incorruptible and it was able to save a multitude of people, but Jesus also had something about him that was unique and special that he showed to other people around him, that he was different. First of all, he was a meek man. And he was blessed with meekness. He was an humble man. And another thing is that he denied himself in all things concerning the will of God. And that goes hand in hand with what I was talking about when I said that love and self-restraint are two key factors in living this life of being a good example. And Jesus was a good example. He was a merciful man. He wanted to heal. We talked about the name of God this morning, a healer, a provider, a shepherd, one with peace, and one that could do great and mighty things. That was all wrapped up in Jesus Christ, and he showed forth that loving kindness. He was an obedient person. He walked in humility. And even though, understand this, as much power and as much glory that this man had upon his life, he walked in the lowly form. He didn't come to this world as a rich king that he could have looked down upon the people, but he came as a man just as I am. That was Jesus. And I'm talking about the God of the universe. The God of the universe should have come with a robe. He should have come with a crown. He should have come with rings all on his fingers. He should have come with a magnitude, a multitude of servants that's at his feet, picking up and taking him wherever he wanted to go, but yet he came walking through the dust barefooted. He came sometimes without food to eat. He came not living in a mansion, but living in a regular house. He came with brothers and sisters that were sinners, just like everybody else was. He came through the birth canal of a woman that was a sinner, Mary, when he could have said, God, why don't you just scoop me up out of the ground, man? I ain't been touched by nobody else. But that was the way Jesus was. He showed us the example as to how we ought to be. I already mentioned to you in 1 Peter chapter 1:23. Excuse me, make sure I get it right. Yeah, 1:23, it talks about us being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Basically, an incorruptible seed. Well, Peter also has some other things to say to us as to how we ought to be an example to people. Because, see, it goes more than how I treat other folk. But it goes as well as to how I'm supposed to be in my house. That's why I ask my children, what is it that you see in Dad that's not good? How is it that you look at me in the way that I treat my wife? Is it good or bad? How is it that I treat other people? Do I show love? Do I show perhaps some kind of understanding and so forth? Can you see something in me that I need to make some adjustments of? And Peter made mention of this in Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's some instruction as to how it is that the wives are to be an example to their daughters. So likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. In other words, what he's saying is that, listen, even if your husband isn't saved, are you showing forth the example that he may desire to know this God that you are serving because of your conversation and because the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you do things? As well, he says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, of the wearing of the gold, or putting on of the apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in the which it is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. It's amazing how God can lay it out and show you all as women how you ought to be. He said, listen, have a meek and quiet spirit. I know I can get in trouble with this, right? But sometimes when you're dealing with your husband, you know, one of the last things he wants to hear or deal with is the chattering. Sometimes you can heap coal of fire on his head by saying, I don't have anything to say. I'm just going to let God deal with you. As my wife will say to me sometime, you got the hand, brother. I ain't going to say nothing else to you. But these are really just ideal thoughts and what God is trying to show how we ought to be. He says, For after this manner, in the old time of the holy women also who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husband, he said, even Sarah called her husband Abraham Lord. Now, I know, brothers, we ain't going to get that kind of stuff today, so you just settle for the hand, or you just settle for them being quiet sometimes, you know. But that's the way it is. But then he said this in verse 7 for us husbands. He said, listen, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and not being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Sometimes us brothers treat our women so bad that when we pray for something from God, it's hindering our prayers. Not that God is hindering our prayer, but that we're hindering our own prayers because we are not treating our wives properly. We're not treating the women that we are around properly. We are to esteem them and lift them up as being a weaker vessel, but at the same time, some gracious gift that God has given us. That is why he gave Adam Eve, because he needed somebody that will help him. And he needed somebody that will work with him and somebody that had more wisdom, really, than he did. Because it has been said that women are smarter than men. Hey, Sister Massey, I'm not going to argue it. And if he's smart, he won't argue. But it has been proven, so to speak, that women are smarter than men. But, you know, but sometimes we can be smart but just don't know how to use it. And I'm not saying that about women. I'm just saying this. On both sides of the aisle, we have to know how to use that which we have to make it all work together good. And so Peter is saying that, listen, us husbands, we have to show an example to our children. You know, the way that I want my son to grow up is to be the example that I set forth. If I'm going to treat my wife good, then he will learn and understand that he's going to treat his wife good. That's the way he's to treat his wife. If my daughter understands that my wife, her mother, is going to treat me good, then it's going to be a blessing for her life all the way around. And these young people, especially to this day and time, with so much stuff that's going on in their life, they need to know how it is that we are to treat one another. They need to know how it is that a man's supposed to treat a woman to treat a man, and all of it work together so that people are blessed all in all, and the families are blessed. But then he got something to say to all of us. He said in verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, loving as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing against railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are therefore called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they may speak guile. Let him eschew or depart from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and not and ensue it. In essence, what God is saying this, for an example that we are to show people, and if we are called a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, the chosen sons and daughters of the living God, we are to live a certain way. We are to treat our wives a certain way, and that ought to be good. The wives ought to treat the husband a certain way, and that ought to be good. But at the same time, for all of us, we ought to show some compassion for somebody. You and I walk by people each and every day, and some of them are just looking for some compassion. Some of them are looking for a good word from you, and instead of that, they get evil spoken of. They get evil words from people. It's amazing that people can so easily curse each other out, but it's hard for us to say that I love you and that I need you and that I want to be your friend and that I want to be a blessing to you. It's because we set ourselves up to be bad examples. And I understand this as well. That when I don't do it the way that Paul told the Philippians to do in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8, he said, listen, I want you to think on some things. I want you to think on things that are true. I want you to think on things that are honest. I want you to think on things that are just and pure. Lovely, if there be a good report, if there be any virtue or any morality to it, or if there be any praise, I want you to not only think on these things, but I want you to act these things out, being an example to people that are around you. You see, because if I can live a true life, then my son and my daughter and the children around me are going to be trustworthy type individuals. If I can live a life of being just, then the people that grow up under me are going to be justified in the things that they do because they're going to know how to live the life that God has shown them to live through me. The last thing I want to say is this. If my example is stealing, I'm going to produce a thief. And I point at my son, but really anybody around here, any child that looks at me, if my example is stealing, then I'm going to cause to be raised up in the midst of me a thief. How is it that you think that children will go out and steal? It's because they saw somebody else steal, and they might think that is the right thing to do. So we have to be careful being the proper example. If I am an example of lying and cheating, then I'm going to produce a liar and a cheater. If I live a life of cursing, then I'm going to produce a person of profane nature, at least with their tongue. If I live a life of rebellion, then I'm going to produce rebels. Because so goes the head, the tail will follow as well. If I live a life that, just a derogatory example for anybody that's around me, and they look up to me, it's going to be a bad thing that's going to come out of that example. But God has shown me today that it's really easy to be an example of what it is that follows me. You see, as a pastor, I understand that there are many people that might look at me. And when I say many people, I'm talking about you all. And some of you might look at me, and you might not even take the time to really see what kind of life that I'm living. And the thing about it is that I don't live my life based on just what people can see, but I live my life based on what I know that God can see. And because I love God, I know that I want to do the right thing. As we were speaking this morning, see, God is all-powerful. He is full of power, and he's everywhere all the time. He's all-knowing, meaning that he knows what's going through my mind as well as what's going through my heart. So even when my actions are not the way that they ought to be, God knows the intent of my heart. There are some Christians that live like the world, and there is a world that live like some Christians. Who knows which is what? Certainly God knows the difference between the two. But I just know this, that I live my life so that other people around me can see, and I hope that you can see it anytime that you are around me. I hope that you can see that I love you. I hope that you can see that I'm merciful like Jesus. I hope that you can see, and I don't only speak for myself, but I'm talking about Enjoy Ministries as a whole. I hope that you can see the example of people showing forth the goodness of God. Wherever you see them, whatever they're doing, you can see a good example of a representative of Enjoy Ministries. And I say this to anybody that is a part of Enjoy Ministries. If you are not living the life that you are supposed to be living as a saint of God or as a representative of Enjoy Ministries, then don't give them the impression that you are connected with Enjoy Ministries. Otherwise, they may take that which they see and say, oh, that's the way everybody is in that church because I see a bad example that's standing before me. It's important that we be a good example to people. It's important that we be an excellent example for these young folk. And I'm thankful to God that one of the reasons why I don't believe that we have children that's in jail and is taking their parents through all kinds of crazy, ungodly stuff is because they are looking at a good example. And they are entwined in that which is good. Now, I know that there ain't no perfect kids, and some of them have to be busted up a little bit. But all in all, I can say this before God, and I tell people this often, I really do. We have a lot of good young folk around here. They don't give us a lot of trouble. And when I say a lot of trouble, you know, a little mild stuff. But we have some good kids. And I like to think part of it is because they have some good parents around them and good people that care for them and a good pastor that's at the head of the, head of the line that's showing forth a good example. All in all, make up your mind to be a good example. If you know that there's something in your life that's not godly, and maybe in some cases it may be something you're just wrestling with, well, just keep on wrestling with it until you overcome it. And God will create a nation. He'll create a church, first of all. He'll create a nation. He'll create a group of people that will show forth his glory, as the Bible tells us, being a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a magnificent group of folk. That's an example to the whole world as to how we ought to be. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you so much that we are the good sample of an example of how we ought to be. I bless you and give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If you would please stand.